Good morning, everybody. It's 9 o'clock. It's Tuesday, December 10th, 2019. We're gathered for our general discussion. We have several department updates this morning. We're going to be starting with Public Health Quarterly Update with our director, Michael Weber, Esquire.
Good morning, commissioners.
Morning.
All right. Let's see. This should be pretty quick and easy.
Promises, promises. That turn into truth, I hope.
We'll see.
Just can be before you start, will you be done by Christmas? I plan to spend Christmas with my family. Or is this presentation be done by Christmas?
I'll have a one-on-one with you after.
Hits the ball across the net.
So we have a few new things to cover. So jump into the environmental health, the first slide. We're a bit behind on our food inspections for this year. One of our staff was out after he rolled his ankle and was unable to go and work them, but we shouldn't have a problem hitting our target. You can see in that second column.
Do you have in your food inspections, do you have frequent flyers that you should go check more often?
Or problem spots, you mean?
Yes. Historically, hot spots were... You know, maybe they're a really old restaurant and they really struggle to stay.
It's not necessarily the old restaurants, but yeah, there are some
frequent flyers. Put it,
yeah, problem spots, frequent flyers.
Okay, but do you put them on an every other month schedule instead of every month or every year or whatever?
Well, all of our inspections are twice a year, so every 6 months we have to hit every restaurant in the county. And a few of those will get hit more often.
But you have the ability to bump that up to once a month if you see fit.
Yes, and we'll go out and visit.
Minimum twice a year.
Yes, we'll go out and hit restaurants more often if we get complaints, which we very often do.
And if you have a bad report, will you do more follow-up?
Yeah, and a lot. I mean, half of what our staff, our environmental health staff, do is work with the owner to resolve issues.
I like that.
There's two in there. There's I don't know if the one downstairs.
Well, there's one around the corner too.
The one around the corner that somebody's in has been occupied for quite a while. Is there another one?
Downstairs, there's another.
Downstairs at the bottom of the stairs.
Thank you.
Hope you make it.
So that's what I was going to say. It's not just about that you guys
are punitive.
Yeah, the hammer, but it's also
right.
Yeah. So that more frequent visit sometimes is the follow-up to make sure they're getting things taken care of, right?
Yeah.
I think that's good.
Exactly.
That's a good service because a lot of times people don't understand. They don't know what they're looking at, that what they do day to day is a problem. And if you could bring that to their attention, I think they're going to appreciate that, especially if it's not on an enforcement side.
To be honest, a restaurant having some findings isn't usually a concern for me. As long as they're showing an interest in resolving them. It's the restaurants who go, yeah, we'll get to that. And then the same things are there the next time around. Those are the ones that I get uncomfortable with because there's not an interest.
Good point. Good point. If they're not interested in making it better, then...
Yeah, that's a flag.
Our people should be concerned about eating there.
I don't know if it's something that would be an interest for this board, but I know in the past there has been a discussion about getting... you'll see it in other cities a lot, and some states have it as a mandate, like a score or a rating that they have to post in the window. So if you go up to Seattle, they actually have a smiley face gauge, and it circles where that restaurant's at. Down in California, it's a grade, an A, B, C, or D. And almost every restaurant's an A. B usually means there's pretty significant problems, and C means they're about to be shut down if they don't resolve it.
Is that legal?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't know whether somebody could come back and say, you know, they put a C on my window and I haven't had any business since, and so I'm going out of business because of that.
I would want to touch base with, like, the Chamber or some other places like that before we engage in a program like that. I'm not interested in public shaming.
Yeah, well,
but then again,
it's a safety issue.
Yeah.
And they should be dealt with safety issue regardless.
All the reports, I mean... All of our reports and all of our findings are online. You can go up and look at any restaurant in the county, and you can see a history of how they've performed. And it's so the information's available. The question is whether or not we make it more directly available to the public.
On site.
Yeah. But it's okay. Very common to require that.
So you're behind a little bit on your food inspection.
Yeah, but we will get caught up. The only other piece with environmental health really is we have a well grant still in place that the state provided for us. It's helping to subsidize some of the cost of doing well testing in rural areas. We're able to go in and test whether or not things like arsenic. So we found a couple wells that had arsenic poisoning in them. And
where do you get arsenic in a well?
It can naturally occur. It can be a naturally occurring element. Okay.
So it's not pollution. It's just there's arsenic in the soil somewhere?
It can be. In these cases, there's no reason to think it was, though.
Okay.
Other things usually are more of a concern. But pollution into the well water is a long-standing process. That takes decades for things to intrude that far down into the water table.
Okay. And it doesn't just show up and then go away. It's going to be there for...
Yeah, there are things that you can do. You can put filters on the system. We're able to use some state funds to help buy, like, a cooler. So people are now buying their water. Because they can shower with it. They just can't consume it. So they buy bottles of water at grocery stores now, the 5-gallon jugs. And that's what they use to actually drink and cook with.
Sell water.
Oh, I've seen people sell air.
We are.
Yep, there's an oxygen bar.
Wait till we start selling it. Never mind. Let's get back on track here.
Solid waste.
One more question about
yes.
The well. Is it on complaint basis, on request basis, or is it, do you have a cycle that you go around neighborhoods throughout the county and just verify where water table testing is for the sake of that community, or how is it done?
A whole mix. So we actually held a number of outreach sessions where we held a public gathering and we talked about the program. Anyone can request it as long as they're on well water. They have to pay a portion of the cost, and then a local company does the water, the sampling and the testing. The only ones that we've actively reached out to is when we find a problem, we will contact homes around that well to get those tested as well.
Okay, so we're not in competition with, we're in working in conjunction with the private sector.
Yeah.
And you have...
We're not doing any of the work ourselves.
You're not doing the testing, water testing, you turn them over to a lab.
Yep.
And they go, okay. So that's my next question is, if we're in competition or not.
And the local folks have been working with us really well.
Do you use all of the companies?
There was a big process.
Okay.
solid waste has been going well. We're still figuring out how to present updates on solid waste. You can see where we're at. We certainly have a long ways to go. We still have almost 700 active cases. We're figuring out how to dig into that. Complaints on solid waste continue to increase, especially since now we're, doing something about it. People are hearing, and they're quite pleased, and they're... actually reaching out to us.
I'm looking down at the clean county or owner and one and two. I'd
so,
like to see that ramped up. We have programs for everything under the sun, but is there a low interest or a loan program or anything that folks can get involved in?
So that's not actually, and this is part of where we need to revamp how we're providing this information. That isn't the number that have been cleaned up as a result of this. That's the number that have been ordered to be cleaned up. So that's going through the full legal process and attorneys getting involved and an actual judge saying thou shall. Where we're seeing
and those were just in those months. So there was one in September, one in October, and two in November.
I believe that's when they were completed.
Okay, so that's not year to date. That's just those months.
That's those months is what I'm seeing here.
But the close,
but
what's that?
It's still one out of 689.
Yeah.
But
that's
the
pretty weak in my estimation.
If you look at the closed, that's where you're actually seeing people doing the cleanup themselves without okay. It's us prompting either through letter or working with the owner and then the owner getting them cleaned up.
Okay.
And that's where we're really excelling. That's where we're seeing the biggest difference for us
okay.
is properties are getting cleaned up without it costing us money.
Okay.
Or outside of the normal cost of doing business.
Is it accurate that the complaints and inspections are equal? So we've inspected every complaint?
Yep.
Okay.
We're actually getting out and meeting all these as they come in. So
is the active numbers, I mean...
A lot of those are
those the ones from 2 years? And so why are they still considered active if they're a decade old? What would cause them to be considered active versus...
There's been, so both Mark and I have discussed how to handle those. The actual complaint intake is Mark's shop, so I'd rather he spoke to it. But ultimately, he wants to see some kind of eyes or some kind of verification before he closes them out,
okay,
rather than just shutting them down. There has been discussion of saying, hey, anything over X number of years or X number of months, we're just going to close and wait for new complaints to come in to validate that they're still there.
Though I've heard from people in the community that said, I complained in such and such, and it's still not there. So I don't know if that's necessarily... It would be nice if there was a methodology of, okay, we're keeping up with the new, but every month we're going to get at least 5 of the old inspected, or something like that, for the sake of... Is it even... From what I can see on the street, is there even a concern here, okay, we're closing it at this time? And
we are doing that. We just need to find a more efficient way of doing it. We've talked about using other types of inspectors who are already going to be out there and saying, hey, if you're going to be in this region, can you hit this list, mm-hmm, and just get them checked off as you go, to the extent you're able. But, you know, these are all over the county, mm-hmm, and just logistically it's difficult to get out and do the inspections. So, yeah, we'll be working with Mark to figure out how to whittle that down more effectively, because we need to.
I can't find your restaurant inspections online.
If you go to the public health site,
mm-hmm,
and click environmental health.
Ah, that's what it's under. Okay.
We're looking forward to that new website update.
I suppose many are.
Animal shelter. We're doing well. Our live release rate is doing great. We target to have above 10%. As of October, we are over 94%, so that puts us well above national average. So that ties into the number of deaths as well as euthanasias that we have.
Now, those are live release, means you are placing them somewhere.
Adoption or move to foster.
They're not just opening the gate, let the dog.
We'd have great
kids. The airport has no regrets.
Release on fish means you caught it and you throw it back. You don't care where it lived or not. You're not saying what it was.
Yeah.
So
we can
you
give
know,
the,
release, you know, we release them. So.
We can give the airport 600 barn buddies.
Mm-hmm.
Just
so you know, every single month at the Animal Shelter Advisory and in the community, this is probably the statistic people are wanting to know more than anything
else.
Highest concern is, are we actually not putting down animals?
As we said, many times they pass a levy for their animals, but they won't do anything for the homeless and law enforcement or anything else, you know.
Yes.
By God, they're animals. That's where they want to put their money.
I can assure you, animal people are very passionate.
Mike, you are the right person we hired to deal with passionate people.
My hat comes off to the lady that carries the little bag with her and takes care of her dog when she allows him to latrine in my backyard.
Those are the ones running the planet? Okay.
Of concern is the number of animals housed per month. I mean, it's good and bad. We're really staffed to handle around that 225, 230 mark, and we are way over, and we're going to continue to be over. Our staff are stretched pretty thin, and our facilities are stretched pretty thin. We're looking at getting a needs assessment done in the next couple months so that we can project our long-term needs, and we'll be looking at a master plan for a facility update here shortly. But it's staffing, it's resources, and it's money. So we'll kind of see where we're at, because we're right on the line when it comes to utilizing those levy funds.
If you go out Upper River Road before you get the Skull Orchards on your left-hand side, and on the right-hand side up there, there's a whole bunch of kennels and dog houses and pens and all kinds of stuff there on the right hand side. And I don't even know what that is. But I don't know how many dogs is in there.
They're a breeder.
They're a breeder?
I think it's a local kennel. I'm not sure the exact location you're talking about, but yeah, I think that's a local kennel.
They're kind of like turkeys. You slam a door and they all go off at once. And people spend a lot of money on turkey calls, and a friend of mine said, you want to know if there's turkeys in here, just slam the pickup door. And you slam the door and all the turkeys go. It's crazy. But anyway, go ahead.
Turkey gobbling.
The dog, the dog's bark every time. You're over there, and I've been to a couple of funeral services.
I did not know that in my day-to-day, we would...
You learned something. Now, you can walk away.
That's right.
You can walk out of this room knowing that you... when you get caught in the parking lot at Walmart slamming your door, somebody says, why are you slamming that door? I said, I want to know if there's any turkeys in the area, and you came up. And you answered in my door slam.
You answered the call.
All right,
that was fun.
We've been seeing a huge increase or improvement in our euthanasia rates every year. Very shortly, we're going to plateau just because at this point, we've pretty much done everything we can. Any animal that we are putting down now is either because of humane reasons, it's too sick, it can't be cared for, or it's too violent. It was involved in an attack and it just can't be placed safely. And those are ones that we can't get around that. It's just the way it is. Let's see. Child parent health programs. This is WIC in particular. We have rehired most of our staff. We were down to about one-third staffing for a little bit. And so now we're in the process of training up, and that's been since July. So we've seen a dip in the number of caseloads that we've been hitting. We're expecting that to come up. That's also a problem that everyone in the state has seen. Every county except 5 saw a significant drop last month, and we don't have a good explanation as to why. There's some suggestion that there's a lack of trust because there's some changes coming down in on reporting for the use of government resources. But we really don't know is what it boils down to.
Question. This last legislative session, there was talk of mandatory home visits with new births.
Not mandatory. And actually, I'll jump to the next
slide.
Well,
they start voluntary and they go to mandatory was the biggest fear that we were hearing in the community that, okay, I had a bad day and now I'm reported for something that, you know, I was up all night because my kid was sick and now they show up and it just happens to be the timing of, you know, do I want the government in my house? If there's not an issue, you know, and I hear that's coming back this legislative session as well. Or
well,
did it pass?
I believe it passed. I don't think it passed in the same version, but a version of it did. Next slide is actually clinical, so I can talk about that there. So
it's different than this?
That's WIC. What you're talking about is
child
home nurse.
Health programs is WIC?
Yes.
Okay.
And Healthy Start. But for clinical services, which houses our home visit nurses, so the mandate from the state is we have to find a way to offer a home visit, and it's a handful. So if you are a new parent, they want to be able to offer a service where a nurse will come in 3 or 4 times over a period of a few weeks and provide guidance, recommendations, ensure safe sleep spaces, things like that. No one's quite sure exactly how we're going to staff this. We're implementing a new model for home visiting where we're going to stop being the center of actually providing that service, and we're going to start being more of a coordination agency. We're going to rely on partners in the community like Women's Health Center, SISCU, AllCare. They're already doing similar work, and what we're finding is we're starting to be in competition with them, and we don't want to see that.
Can't we just refer everything, and you don't have to worry about it, but just refer it to one of those 3 contractors?
Yes. It's a lot more complicated as to exactly how we do it, but that's exactly what we want to do. What we want to do is if a parent has a child with complex medical conditions, a number of them, it can be very difficult to maneuver the healthcare services involved. So what we do is we have a nurse go to the home, sit down with the parent. They work with the provider as well as any specialists and rehabilitation specialists and coordinate that care and ensure that, you know, things aren't being missed. And we get reimbursed from the state every time that we go into the home and provide that service. There's a lot of work that has to be done outside the home, but that's the point where we get paid.
You ever get audited on that? Because that seems like a real loose way to say, okay, we did 500 visits and you only did two.
We very much get audited for it.
I just want to make sure.
So what we're looking to do is, you know, All Care Assist You, one of these other health partners, they're already engaged with that patient. They're already engaged with the provider. We want them to actually do the home visit, and we'll be passed through. We'll pay them, and we'll do internal audits to ensure that they're staying compliant, and then the state will audit us. So that's our intent, and a model like that could theoretically be used to provide the service for the legislation that you were talking about.
Is there any privacy issues involved with that the government would be, you know, I want to deal with private sector, or I want to deal with the government? Is there any privacy issues? Because, you know, you're talking about some sensitive information.
Yeah, we are. I'm not even privy to a lot of it. And there's not many things in my department I'm not privy to. And that's purposeful. It's HIPAA compliance. For everyone that puts eyes on it, there's a lot of controls as to how that information is shared and isn't shared. But we have a clinic. If you work with our clinic, we have to see your medical records. That's kind of the way it is. But yeah, this would give them the option to go to All Care and receive the same service. flu is looking to be a bit rough this year. It's right now we're peaking. We're hoping it's an early peak and it drops off quickly, but right now we're higher than 2017-2018 season, which was the really bad one. We normally in our country see between 36 and 42,000 deaths due to influenza. And we saw over 80,000 in 2017-18. We're hoping we're not seeing a repeat of that. Following a year like that, we always see a huge spike in vaccinations, which we did last year. The numbers themselves were a lot better, and it delayed the season, which is always good. But then after that, you see an overcorrection. But after a really good year, we see low vaccinations, and after a really bad year, we see high. So please get vaccinated.
I keep getting messages from the clinic saying they're out of...
We have them stocked now. There was a...
But you can't bill insurance, or you can?
Yeah, we can.
Okay. There's something about primary... Our new insurance plan with the county is not considered a primary care provider, so if you don't go to your own doctor to get it, you get charged differently with your insurance. But we got that worked out.
Yeah, we can bill insurance.
Why am I seeing it like I drive by Walmart, for instance, free flu shots. So they don't charge for flu shots? And you're saying it's got to be billed through the insurance?
There's probably an asterisk on there. They bill your insurance. And a lot of insurances will cover 100% for preventive care.
They'll advertise free flu shot. If you go in there and I might live on the street and I want a flu shot, it says on the sign out there.
Oh, I'm sure that there's some very small writing on that sign saying, clarifying that. let's see. We have a lot more data to provide for clinical services, including rates on things like foodborne illnesses, STDs, and all that. Unfortunately, the state's data collection system, called Orpheus, is not providing accurate data. All the counties are struggling with this. I purposefully left that data off because I don't want to have bad information out there.
Working on or acknowledging the problem?
Yes, they are very well aware. All of us counties are helping them understand the importance of getting that fixed.
Helping them understand.
We're just here to educate.
I understand it.
I love it.
We do have a new nurse practitioner staffed by All Care. She has been great, and we're getting a lot of our clinical services back up and running.
Good.
Our overview. I know all of you have heard about Program Elements. Program Elements outline how we conduct business and how we get reimbursed from the state for the services we provide. there's a new program element coming in called PE51 on public health modernization. We're going to get some dollars, and a lot of the effort is going to be focused on getting us accredited as a county public health entity.
I think that's on our weekly business session tomorrow night, approving the position.
Yes.
For the modernization.
It's going to fully fund a project manager position and partially supplement some other positions. So we're going to have a little bit of support in our budget there.
So you say then we will be accredited?
That's a long process. It takes a couple years, but yeah, the intent
is... working towards that.
Yes.
Okay. Has the county health department ever been accredited before?
No. There's only six counties in the state that are currently accredited, but a number are working towards it.
Can I ask a skeptical question?
Yep.
My experience with accreditation with other roles in my life, it seemed to be a lot of busy work.
It is, and but there's a benefit to it.
Okay, and that's what I'd ask, because what I was always told was the benefit is, okay, you go through these steps of all the documentation for accreditation, and usually it's a defense for lawsuits. So if somebody tries to sue someone who's accredited, they know all their policies are in place to cover, they know they have documentation and such, and it doesn't, you know, it's just kind of one of those things that the cost and the benefit analysis of high cost of a lot of time and a lot of staff person, is the benefit worth how much extra work goes into that? So I'm just, I don't want to be negative on what you're saying, but that was
my... It's a very valid question, because I've gone through accreditation processes that really got you nothing more than a sticker on the wall.
Yeah.
One of the big things for us is it opens up grant dollars. There's a lot of grants that are only available to accredited entities. Uh-huh. So that's one of the big benefits. The other benefit is it really does ensure that we have our policies in order, and it helps build partnerships between communities, so it helps ensure that we have redundancy in our systems. So the liability piece is also a benefit.
Does CIS give a discount if you're accredited?
I do not know, but I can ask.
So sometimes, you know, if you get a...
Sure.
Certain things, you know, mm-hmm. you get a discount.
I like it for where you're growing the department and the things that you've put in place of improvements and checks and balances of things that you've inherited. But I still have to ask the question.
Absolutely.
You know, for the sake of...
It's an important question. Because I've been on both sides of that equation where mm-hmm. I see accreditation that doesn't serve a purpose, and I've actually gotten accreditation that really didn't serve a purpose. So this is a good one, though. We'll look forward to it, but it is a couple-year process. It is arduous. We have updated our hours, so we are open Friday mornings now. I'm not sure when the doors closed, but I can tell you that as of about six months ago...
When the last person goes out?
Yeah. Well, at some point we stopped being open on Fridays. Every single Friday, I would find a half dozen people walking up to our doors trying to get service.
I was going to say, could you kind of keep track of how that's working out for you to see if that's worth it?
Yes.
I mean, I guess just, you know, let you know we've needed this for a long time, and, you know, we're now supplying Friday.
I had my staff meeting this morning, and our front desk worker that was here last Friday talked about the fact that, you know, she worked her first Friday, and she was expecting it to be a waste of time, like nobody would come in.
Right.
And she said she did $1,300 in business. So, and that was the first Friday she was there. So we'll keep track of it, but we're expecting it to be really good.
Okay.
We've also shifted our hours away from early mornings. So the other days, we aren't open for the full 10 hours, but we're open till later now. So we aren't coming in, our staff aren't coming in, you know, before 7 o'clock. They're coming in at 8 and staying later.
Well, I saw you had new hours on the front page of the website,
yep.
But they didn't change it in the depth of the website yet. Old hours, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. I'll hop in and make sure that gets resolved.
Yeah, because it seems like people would be checking that. Yep.
I'm just going to suggest Shannon needs a name change. It looks like a requirement in this division is Mick at the start of your name, so she needs to be McDoke.
It's just McDaniel.
McDonald.
McDonald.
Oh.
Just kidding. Sorry.
I'll let her know. I'll try to get into the court and get that fixed.
Just teasing.
Very quick, we have a new FEP coordinator, Public Health Emergency Preparedness. They support with emergency preparedness activities, and they're working very closely with emergency management now, so we've shifted that a little bit.
Thank you for that. I'm really impressed that the partnerships that you guys are building, so thank you.
Thank you.
Your operation, admin, sounds like a law firm, McDaniel, McDonald, and Doak.
Yes. How many jokes can we make of that little division today?
I think two's enough.
Aww.
There will be a sign on the wall this afternoon. Joko Child is there's a website called Ashland Child. It's a vaccine education page out in Ashland. It's been very successful. It's not exclusively ours. It's a partnership in the community. We don't really own it. We're figuring out what group can own it. But we've essentially mirrored the model of Ashland Child and we created Joko Child. So if you go to jokochild.org, and it's stories from people in the community, parents who were vaccine hesitant and kind of the things that influenced them and how they got change their mind.
Might be worth working with Jason about a social media campaign to put the word out about Joko Child.
Yeah, we will. One thing I want to make sure of is that it's not...
Just subtly put it out in a little way, but just kind of start putting information out there. And
it's a... One thing I want to make sure of is that if we do that, it's a broader partnership.
Okay.
Because it's not Josephine County's...
Got it.
...website. We don't exclusively own it. AllCare and other partners have helped pay for it, and they're funding it, and they're going to help provide input and content and everything else, so... If we do put out a press release, I want to make sure it reflects that.
Nice picture of Kate Dwyer on that.
Yes.
It might actually...
She was very passionate about getting that.
Really. Nice. It might actually be received differently if it does come from those partners as well. So,
by the way,
we can wait and see.
On that website, you can find Kate Dwyer's story. She wrote a beautiful little op piece on her background. And she did amazing. The final thing is a safety piece. We're trying to figure out how to get comms, radio communications for our field staff. We've talked about seeing if we could get tied into a non-emergency line back to dispatch, maybe utilizing public works dispatch. But I have folks who go out quite a ways, particularly Thomas Peterson, our solid waste guy. He hits every corner of the county, and he oftentimes doesn't have cell coverage. But with inclement weather... I'd like to find a way for them to be able to reach
Who
back.
Have you talked to?
Public Works and the Sheriff's Office. We're just figuring out where it should land.
You need to add to that list Ryan Johnson, because we have a county-owned radio frequency for the non-emergency radio frequencies already that is monitored in dispatch. But like Corrections has their own radio base. Animal Control used to be on that same frequency before they switched over to Sheriff's Office, and Parks has access as well. So Sheriff's Office doesn't have it necessarily, and the partnership can come with Sheriff's Office to see if they monitor at a certain level, but there is already a frequency that actually reaches the full scope of the county that was available for stuff, and Ryan and his radio guy can talk to you about that. And there may be radios available, maybe. Or if not, a grant to get some ordered.
Yeah, and I'm not too worried about that. I know we have the money to get them, and I know people have them. My main concern is process. Who's going to be on the other end monitoring it? So that's the big question we want answered.
What would you use that for? Hey, I'm stuck in a ditch out here. Come and get me?
I've come across...
Please check on me in 5 minutes.
Are you what?
I'm going to be checking this house. Please check on me in 5 minutes. Make sure I'm
right.
Okay.
Make sure I'm okay.
Or even if, we have Thomas Peterson out where there's no cell coverage and he comes across an accident, there's some mechanism for him to reach back. Because all those situations have come up. They're inclement weather, we had a van that barely crept back and they didn't have comms for a bit. And they could have gotten, last winter, they could have gotten stuck out on 199. So We just want to make sure that our folks have a way to communicate.
The POs have the radio back to their base, and Animal Control had that as well, and Parks has that as well, that they each have a base station. But with the POs, they had an agreement with the sheriff's office that if there was, but granted, they're law enforcement, so it's a different agreement there, but you'd have to talk to sheriff's office. But the POs had the ability to switch frequencies to sheriff's office if there was something, I need help, and this is where I'm at, that they can not have to go through base and base call for help, and I don't know where they are exactly. They can communicate directly with. And just so you know, in the sheriff's dispatch, they do have that frequency up. So they have the ability to monitor and listen, just as Parks and Community Corrections and Public Works all have the radio. So there's two frequencies. Public Works has a frequency,
yep.
And then there's another one county that used to have Animal Control, Parks, and Community Corrections on it together. And so there's two frequencies that are countywide that are non-emergency.
Yeah. And I'm sure we'll be able to get tied into one of them. This is something that's going to be very rarely used. I just want to make sure that it's available.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you can see our current org chart on the back. Nothing too exciting there. Both the WIC certifier and the clinical specialist are both vacant. WIC certifier, we're interviewing now. The clinical specialist, I may actually do away with that role and restructure that a little bit. And utilize other resources to fill that need.
Is the grant writer being utilized by other departments?
Yes, a lot. So Amber, the grant writer, 50% of her time is dedicated to other departments. I think it's actually been a little bit higher right now. And I've been getting requests for additional usage. So pretty soon we're going to have a need to start briefing out kind of where that's at. It's still very early in the process.
It might be just because it's new on board and, oh boy, now we've got one.
Yeah.
But if it continues along that track, you might want to have to...
We didn't have that same reaction when we had a contract person. They were kind of having to beg for people to use them of sorts.
Yeah.
And when Amber came on, kind of some of the departments that were hesitant to help or get help have been more willing to say, let me work with you and do more. So,
to a point that I'm actually going to be reaching out to HR next week and talk about changing her job description to match what she's been doing, because she's been working at a much higher level than we anticipated. We thought we were going to have to fight with department heads to get them to engage. Almost every department head has told me personally how much they appreciate it.
That's a good deal.
Do they pay a price for that?
Nope.
Right now, half of the position is funded through general fund?
Almost all the position.
Okay.
So they do pay a price if they get a grant. If it supplements existing operations, so costs that they already pay, we'll take some of that funding back and put it in a fund to help pay for the position. If they pay for something new that we are not paying for as a county, they keep all the money. That was purposeful on my part. Organizations like, you know, airports doesn't have the funding to pay us a cost, but the value of what we're providing to them is too great. So,
no, and that's the world we're living in. It's moving more towards multiple grants, helping every agent.
Well, they don't just say, okay, we're going to give you the money. Now you have the money. They make the money available, and then you have to ask for it. Which is a good screening process to the legitimacy of the ask. So I think it's a good policy to have, rather than just saying, yeah, we've got this pot of money, we'll just throw it at you. You have to really document what you're going to use it for and how you want to use it, make sure it's purposeful.
Well, most every grant, there's not only an application process, but there's a reporting process of how you're
right,
in compliance,
exactly.
Or you have to pay back the money.
There is follow-up on it, it's worth for it. But anyway, oversight.
No, and we're a county that can take advantage of a lot of that because of where our funding levels are and our service levels are. Yeah,
there's a need.
But I didn't know if it was something like the law firm that says if we don't win, you don't pay. But if they do get, if the grant is awarded,
and
you take 3% or
probably higher. But
I'm 3% is it?
Yeah, only if it's supplementing something that they're already paying for. So okay. If they get a grant to pay for $50,000 of one of their existing staff, we may take $10,000 back. But they're still saving $40,000 on their budget.
Right, okay.
But if we get them a new staff, we get them $50,000 to pay for a new contract staff for a year, we aren't taking any of that money. Because that's going to take
into
their budget.
Because that's what the ask was for, and the ask needs to go all to that person.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think it sounds like it's working okay.
It's going to take a while for us to fully get a return on that investment, but from what I'm hearing from other departments, it's definitely on the right track. The other thing is how you measure success with grants can be exceptionally difficult, and I won't go too far down the academic road of that, but if we fill out an application for a grant for $5,000 from Walmart, which we have done, we didn't get it, but we're going to continue to resubmit that grant. So if we get it on the fourth try, we only did the work once, but we missed it three times, but we got it the fourth. You know, is that three failures and a success? Is it a successful retention? So how you measure success in a grant program actually gets really, really complicated. But that'll be a conversation for another day.
And results. Okay.
Any questions?
No, sir.
Thank you, commissioners.
Nice work. Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Yes.
If I don't see you, which I do every day.
Up next, we have our information technology quarterly update with our director, Mr. McCafferty.
Good morning.
Good morning. Commissioners.
Good morning. No PowerPoint, lots of bullet points. Stop me if I go too fast.
Whoa. Why the rush? Just kidding.
Yeah, well, I don't want you falling asleep on me. And well, yeah. So Office 365, IT and emergency management are now fully enrolled in Office 365. What does that mean? It means that their emails actually go into the cloud, and they're pulling it down from the cloud. We have a hybrid setup, so there's a copy that we capture on our servers. Almost the full suite of Office 365 tools are available to them. We met with emergency management last week as a group. We're looking for them to be the guinea pigs on how we use Office 365. They're fairly advanced users with a lot of good enthusiasm, and they're a small team, so they're perfect for that. They'll break it if they can, and that'll give us places to troubleshoot. But what we're really looking for is a template on how to use this. It's completely different than our current Office environment where you store an Excel file or a Word file in a folder so that you can find it later. There's a lot more collaborative tools, and so we're working with them. Hopefully over the next 4 or 5 weeks, we'll get that kind of ironed out, and then we'll start to roll it out to other departments. We're looking at corrections next because they're a good-sized department. As a single business purpose, be a little easier to work with them, and then we'll start rolling it out to everybody else by the spring. The PSAP is moving next week. Actually, tomorrow they're moving to their backup PSAP up on Hillcrest. That's 911, the dispatchers. They're going to be moving next Wednesday, the 16th, over to the new PSAP. Is it the 16th? What's today? 10th?
10th, yeah.
Yeah. So next week, they're going to be moving into the new building. At least that's the plan. So we're ready for them. The fiber's in place. We just have to put a switch over in the rack, and we're asking them for access to that. Their technicians to connect the radio and the 911 recorder are happening on the same day that they're going live. So we didn't have anything to do with that scheduling. It is a pretty frantic pace right now. So we're trying to stay on top of it, but stay out of their way. And so we think we should be okay. Question, Annette said, you want a TV in the lobby of Ann Basker. I just wanted to know how big you want to go and what you want to be on it.
I hadn't heard that one yet.
It was suggested to have a monitor in the lobby so we can put the agenda up there so people can see it as they're walking in instead of having paper in there to kind of reduce the paper costs and everybody can view it.
They can take their agenda with them. I don't mind the paper one. I just don't know whether, you know, a TV set, a monitor out there, because I know the people that hang out in the lobby, you know, they don't participate in the meeting except for their 3 minutes of fame, and then they go out in the lobby and have their own meeting. And I don't know whether that's that important for three people. And I think, you know, their only question is, well, you don't have anything in the lobby. Well, I think, you know, we can print a couple dozen agendas and put it out there for them. Every meeting I go to, our staff has.
They've been printing the agenda out there.
Right.
I do like the idea of having the presenters present the stuff on the screen. I think that we can have, as a topic comes up, there can be more than the agenda on our display about the topic.
Good case in point, the other day when we had our property, when Helene gave her deal and said, yeah, we sold 11 properties, it would have been nice to, for Trish to just and have the 11 properties up on the screen. So people, they just sit there and stare at the agenda, but they don't get any meat at the agenda.
Mm-hmm. Well, and for me, like the week before, the fee schedule.
Yeah,
would have
exactly.
Been nice to have on there. I'm not saying we have to put the whole packet.
No.
Just the front page of a lot of those deeper packet items.
So that if we have an exhibit, for instance, it would be nice that the exhibit could look like our maps. If we're, you know, doing a lot line adjustment or something, that the map would be able to be put up there to say where we're at and what we're doing. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. I mean,
right now we just show the agenda. And I, you know, when I stopped by Curry and went to one of their meetings, and it was pretty impressive what they did, because their you know, the things in their agenda popped up on the screen, and it's just a little guy like this, you know. It wasn't.
One of the early asks I had with the website was that we have a module built into the website that's an agenda builder. Is it Granicus that our people had recommended that we go through? That they basically are the ones that do the best system, but it would allow department heads to, we build the formulation of what information needs to be for an agenda, and the department head can simply build it into the website and attach the documentation. It sends it to us or whoever it needs to go to electronically. So it really is more efficient in documenting. I submitted to this day, they got the response in legal this day or, you know, that kind of stuff. But it would also allow online that if somebody, when you have your agenda online for people looking in the world, they can click on the agenda item and it pop up the packet information related to that. We also would have that ability in the meeting to connect directly and have it displayed of the basic information without it having to be the full information. So I'm hopeful that we can get that going soon
And I think we can walk gently in that direction. We don't have to have everything at the next meeting.
Big rollout.
Right.
Correct.
Just start.
Like the other day, I want page 9 and I said, can you put page 9? But nope, we can't do it. And page 9 would have been those properties. Yeah.
I was debating on, okay, what do we present? Because how much work are we asking our staff to do to put it into a PowerPoint presentation? Okay, I do PowerPoints. I can whip out a PowerPoint pretty quick, but they're timely. They're work. And, well, City Council does it. Yeah, their meetings are every other week. They have 2 weeks or more to know what they're building into
that. And their content isn't really near what ours is.
Well, it's not a weekly. And their department heads are who build that thing and do that. So I guess I'm trying to think of what is a better middle ground.
Right.
That would provide some information to display without being so work intensive. So if they already in this module that is going to go on the website, if they've already entered it, that would give us the information to display without having to recreate.
Right. If our packet's available online, then why can't the person find it and put it on the screen?
Back to the schedule here, a TV in the lobby, how big and what's on it? You know, if it's going to be in the lobby, I don't want it to be any bigger than that. And what would the cost of that be?
Where did the ask for it to go in the lobby come from?
That started with me. I think that we should have a, I was thinking more of a kiosk than a TV. It'd be nice to have one here at the
information
top
booth.
Of the stairs, mm-hmm. information booth, to have a place where people could look at our website.
What are you trying to find? Go here.
Yeah, exactly. And then that was saying, well, would it be an advantage to have one over there? But it seems like now that we've discussed it, we don't spend that much time there, and neither does the public. It's more over here. Mm-hmm. And a place that people don't have internet access at their home or whatever to come and look at what's on our agenda and what's on the future of any committee or any information from the health department or whatever it is. They could look at it at a kiosk. And so that's where the idea started. And then I mentioned that we have extra paper agendas that no one takes. And
or they use them for notes, or they use them for something else, yeah.
Yep. And so that's where it started. Because I was also talking to Annette about having the person who's maintaining our website give us a chance to give input, whether it's a quarterly update or to match a department head's quarterly update. But I've been paying more attention to the website lately and have seen things that I know we're in transition and we're about ready to get a new one. And I'm looking forward to that. But just like with Michael today, I was like, yeah, there's that discrepancy in the hours. You're on the front page, but not on the back page. And so there should be a chance for us as commissioners to go, hey, how's the website going? Where are you headed? And so I don't know if that's a supplement to your quarterly update or if someone else.
It's on there here.
Is, right, that I think we should be paying closer attention to the website and making sure mm-hmm. it's relevant, fresh, and all that from the commissioner's political public service aspect, not just information that is obvious.
So as far as TV in the lobby at Ambassador, I could almost envision a small one up in the corner that's maybe viewing what we're seeing inside, mm-hmm. having the meeting projected in the lobby. You can have the double doors shut so that they could be, you know, but... I guess if it was a kiosk that somebody could look up the packet from in there, because we don't provide the full packet. So we're seeing information, or do we print a full packet that is there for a copy for people to kind of look at, like just one or two copies?
Well, let's go back to the way the city used to do it. They had the agenda, just as a single sheet, and then they had like two copies of the full packet mm-hmm. in the slot. So somebody could take that and look through it and refer to it and then put it back in the slot. They only had like two of those full packets available right. yeah. in as you came in the door.
Some of our packets are big.
They are. Yeah. And they are. But if yeah. you have something of interest, that packet is there and you can go to that chapter and look it up.
Yeah.
And then put it back. But it's for, you know, it's not for somebody to take into the room and then
the city has binding ability. We don't have. Right. We would have to purchase. For instance, they put the two-hole punch or the three-hole punch in those, and they put the clips through, and they attach it together so that it's bound together. Right now, it might be in one of the drawers, one of those options, but it's not something we do frequently enough or haven't in such a long time that it would be loose. We don't have a staple big enough for as big as some of the packets
right,
would be.
One or two of these, or
so. No. I'm not looking for big expense or for adding. What's the most reasonable way of having the information available to the public when they come to the meeting? Is it putting a monitor there that is like with a mouse that it's just that there? There's nothing else they can go to, or is right. it? Do we wait for the website to be up with the agenda builder in so they can click the agenda item and look at it? Do you yeah. want just the packets there right now in paper version?
Maybe we should have that discussion once the new website's up and see what our tools available are and how friendly
and
they are.
And then you'd have to buy a whole box of mouses because every meeting you'd probably lose a mouse if somebody...
Right, we have to tether it to the wall.
They have these ones that have wires attached to them, so they're actually physically...
Are they in museums, or...?
I know it's yeah. amazing.
Bag phone.
So I'm hearing, if I'm hearing correctly, we're going to wait on a TV in Ambassador till we sort through, maybe talk through the options a little later.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that okay with you, John?
I don't want to throw it out. I just want to look at it a little bit more.
See what the new website services offer to see if that would meet the need. Okay.
That's you guys' wheelhouse.
Since we're talking about it, I'd like to follow up on the kiosk thing. So we did spend a lot of time looking at kiosk companies for the board's request for the lobby. The board had asked for directions like a mall, plus the ability to see what's going on. the ability to see what's going on with apps, basically, where you would click on the Facebook link, the Twitter feed, the website, all of the things that's going on in the county. We can do that for about $4,500. They're freestanding touchscreen type situations. But the 3D modeling of where to go in the county for services didn't have it, or the price was crazy. So Brendan has been working on it kind of on the side, and it's really pretty cool. So he's done a 3D rendering of the courthouse and the justice building with each office segmented, where you can put in the assessor, or you can put in where do I pay my taxes, and that office will light up on the 3D model. It's he's 3 months into it, so it's probably going to be February or March before we're able to roll it out. But our idea is to at least have that out, plus the ability to get to our website and our Facebook feed and that kind of
thing. I'd even be willing for it. I mean, it'd be nice to have the map option, but it'd almost even be, okay, take the stairs in the center of the thing downstairs to assessor, or take the stairs upstairs to the courts, or, you know, something like that. If it
like
even
a MapQuest thing that...
Yeah, not even necessarily map, but just even you're here, where do you want to go? I need to look at my taxes. Okay, go downstairs to the left and you're going to find the...
So you could do that. It's interactive at any level. Mm-hmm. So you either have an office light up or you have go downstairs. Go. I mean, you have to have an input and then an output.
Yeah,
so you have
right.
to do some kind of
you almost have to
programming.
Pre-build it.
Yeah, so...
what are the options they would look for? I want to pay my ticket.
Exactly.
I kind of like the light up and they find their own way because you do the stairs thing and there's two sets of stairs out of that lobby.
When we show it to you, you'll be impressed.
They turn left when you get to the bottom of the stairs. They're down.
Cool. Yeah.
It's neat that Brendan has had the ability to build some apps and kind of explore, but I've seen at one of the conferences that... you know, they do it citywide, but yeah, you're looking at paying for a program of where you go for. But it could almost be, what are you looking for? Pay. And you hit it, I want to pay taxes, I want to pay a ticket, I want to pay a court fee. You know, you have three options of pay. I want a marriage license, passport, blah, blah, blah. Right. Go this way to clerk. I want, you know, something that... What are the most common things that we're hearing? Family court. You need to get in your car and drive to 4th and F Street. You know, that kind of thing. But
And I'd like to either take down that information sign or have a kiosk under it. And then someone can be in that window.
Right there.
I don't know if it's back in the day when the county had volunteers more regularly, you'd have people in there. Regularly, more recent years, it's been employees around the county that are on light duty. If there wasn't something in their departments, you can have them do. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, it doesn't have to be an information window necessarily, especially since it's not planned to be staffed, but it would be nice to have the information thing there.
Yeah.
The White City VA put in kiosks about 3 years ago, 2 years ago. Worked great.
Until?
But now you go over there and, kiosk out of order, kiosk out of order. I don't know if their whole system just didn't get updated or whatever, but the whole thing is basically scrap iron now because none of them ever work.
And we're trying to build stuff that don't become scrap iron, and that is a challenge.
John. What's that?
We're trying to build things that won't be scrap iron.
Good idea.
And that's
I just didn't know if anybody didn't keep up with it or, get the updates, so therefore it doesn't work.
Do you all have this app on your phone, the JOCO Emergency?
I have the emergency one, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Brendan did.
It gives the contacts.
It's pretty cool, the ability to call everybody's number right out of the app.
Well, and I like the view all because you don't necessarily know which one is going to be the starred one that your dialer would go to, so it's like, which one do you go to? Can we go back to the Office 365?
Sure.
So one of the things that I often do is try to search emails to find something because I get so many in a day that's rolling through. And what I found is in the cloud version, when I go to the website to get into the email, you have less search capacity than I do in the app. So in the app on my desktop that's Outlook, I can go back and look at 3 years worth of emails and search and find something. where is, when I log into mail.co.josephine.org, you know, and all that kind of stuff, it puts a limit on just a few months. You can't actually, if you search by a name or you try to do from a person, there's very restrictive limits on the search. And so I just last month was looking for something that way, and I remember wanting to tell you that the restrictions on the search mechanisms on the online versions are, I can show you on my phone.
Well, I can look into it. Like it's that, a new thing that nobody's brought up before, so we can look at it. But that's not Office 365.
Well, but it's the web version, and so I don't have full access to my emails unless I go page by page by page by page. As soon as I put a search criteria in, it limits how many I access.
Oh, I understand, and so that's a technical difficulty with the current web app, but that has nothing to do with
but
what your Office 365 experience is going to be.
Okay. Yeah. And I just want to make sure that it's not a cloud limitation either, that you don't have full access to...
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Budget's going to be coming up, and I won't meet with you as far as a quarterly update, so I did want to talk about some things that, as a board, to see if you want me to pursue or not. So, threat protection. About 6 months ago, we were approached by a company called Dark Trace. They're an English company, huge capitalization, over $1 billion, doing very well. It's artificial intelligence threat protection. Cost us nothing to try it. We want to be exposed to newer technology, so it's on our network. What it did was find on a Friday night at 5 o'clock that Chinese and Russian IP addresses were pinging our network. Didn't do anything. Dark Trace found it right away. Ken came in, Chansey came in, they got notifications on their phone. We're getting these rogue IP requests. And so this is stuff over and above what a firewall does. A firewall doesn't allow employees to look at websites that the company doesn't want them to get to. It stops 90% of our junk mail, but doesn't stop all of it. It stops network traffic that shouldn't be going on that you know about. But what Dark Trace does is find history of typical traffic between computers and the outside world. And when it sees an anomaly, it says this is an anomaly. And so it saw these internet connections from China and Russia, and we were able to close those gaps right away and to take a look at our servers and see if there was any issues. It's something that everybody's going to. There's a substantial expense connected to it. So I just wanted to lay the groundwork when I talk about threat protection. It is something that's heavily discussed at the state and federal level. It's going to be a CJIS requirement at some point. What do you have for threat protection, or at least monitoring? We are trying this just to try it. It might be something we discuss again at budget time.
What kind of cost per year?
We're looking at probably at least $35,000 a year. Yeah.
But the future is only going to get more.
It's getting more money.
Susceptible and guarded.
More. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to know from the board if you want me to pursue cell phone text capture. It's becoming more prevalent that we're getting information requests.
What, you make a record of?
Where text? We capture every text on a company phone. Mm-hmm. It's something that I brought to the board a couple years ago. The board didn't want to go there. but it's something that I would say we're an outlier on not having. I haven't pursued the costs. I'm guessing it would be something around $10 a month per phone that we have. We have 110 Verizon phones. We have another 60 U.S. cellular phones. So you're looking at $1,700 a month. So it's substantial. But
how can we have two different carriers?
Sheriff chose.
You know, it's something I would like to talk to Mike Weber about too. The sheriff and other users of U.S. cell emergency management have much better luck in remote rural
exactly.
areas.
Yeah, I have both.
There you go.
And so the contractor loves US Cellular.
So I would say that in our area, if we were only in the county, US Cellular has the best coverage as far as in the county. If you travel outside of the county, they have no coverage almost.
It's not as good.
And so personally, my personal phone, I was on US Cellular for years, and then I found that it was just not working as I wasn't in town. And that's when I switched to Verizon, who had the next best coverage as far as generally going anywhere. I'm finding less dropped calls in the area, but traditionally US Cellular in our area has the best coverage. But if you if you leave town, US Cellular doesn't provide.
So we wouldn't suggest US Cellular for you, but we might suggest it for an assessor employee that works out in the field, and they do use it, and they pair that with GPS on their vehicles. And exactly the same situation Mike's talking about, where a truck may get stuck in Tequila or something. Well, that works pretty well.
I wanted our fleet, every fleet vehicle, to have the cell thing on there that monitors the vehicles. Where's their location? They even can tell you, are they speeding or they're doing different stuff. But it's something, and it's like $10 a vehicle a month.
Track.
Mm-hmm.
It's very handy. I started it first one in the county at the assessor's office 10 years ago. And, you can frankly see how efficient you're being with employees. You can set boundaries on where they can go. You can best pattern, like for restaurant inspections, you can say it makes more sense to go to these restaurants in this order.
They even have the software that you can put in all the address. Because I used to do my field lists based on I put in the information in an Excel spreadsheet, and I would put a zone with them, and then I'd sort them by zones so I could be more efficient with my routes. I'm going to get all the ones in this area of town at once, then over here, so that I'm not going cross town back and forth 20 times. Well, the software is such that you put your list in of where you go, it'll map you the most effective route for efficiencies and fuels and stuff like that. They do it for UPS and some of those other ones. They actually map them for them to get the most efficiency. I'm not saying we have to go that route. It's just the technology available. And I'm surprised that we don't. But people said, well, that's privacy issues. And it's like, you're in a company car. There is no privacy issues here.
And we get stuff every once in a while that, why was that Jeep Cherokee parked at
such and such.
And you say, you would be able to find out who that was.
Yeah.
And why they were there and so on and so forth. Well, you know, it's a restaurant inspector and he's at the least resort because he's there inspecting the restaurant.
Yeah.
But in the private sector, we were going to do that one time because when you got your name on the side of the rink, people do all kinds of, oh, he cut me off and he did this and he did that. Wow, he went by me at 100 miles an hour. And tracking says, no, he was doing 55. And, you know, that, or no, he wasn't even there. That was not our company. That was a company from Medford that looked like our
I recently called a department about it. County vehicle that the driver just threw something out the window, and you know, as I pulled up, I kind of just looked right at him and kind of, you know, and you know, it was one of those things. I'm like, okay, this was the vehicle number, you know, and by them having a vehicle number, having some identifier, they can tell who it was.
Time and place.
Yeah, but it's like, to me, it's public appearance. You don't throw something out a window, you know.
No, well, that. The tracking and the text capture, we should start heading towards, whether it's in the natural budget cycle or a separate presentation for cost. But, yeah, certainly seems like we need that. We need to move in those directions.
So is that the boards that at least pursue the cost of cell text capture?
Yes, and the...
And the tracking. All three of your things you got there.
Oh, the GPS tracking, we already do that. Yeah, it's $10 a month per vehicle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we have.
We don't do it countywide.
No, we have a couple departments that do it. It was the department's choices to do it.
We should look at expanding.
I'm hearing the board suggest we might want that just be countywide.
So I will put Rob, talk with Rob about
that.
Okay. Let's hear about it.
Oh, okay. And that dark trace thing, we need to make a decision on that this year as well.
I'll bring it to the board in the budget time and say what the costs actually are and We would have to RFP.
See what percentage of your budget.
Yeah, what all agencies are out there? Are they all what you're seeing with this
one?
This
was just a way to figure out what it does and to see if there's.
Well, and it'd be nice to know how far behind we are. This many counties.
Oh, I can tell you.
Yeah, this many.
We're probably in the middle somewhere.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is a way comfortable ahead. Place to be.
Yeah. And the other issue is frankly, we've just grown. We have 50% more endpoints than we did when I started as IT director.
Endpoints meaning?
Your cell phone, your MDT in a car, a server, a switch.
What are we?
A computer. 3,000,
5,000?
No, we're about 780 endpoints, but that's not including cell phones. Yeah.
It's just growing.
It's just growing. We're at 500 employees, staff, intern now. It's someone, now that we have some abilities, building and safety is adding interns. They're putting kiosks in main areas so that taxpayers can get to those kiosks. All those things take maintenance. Mm-hmm. So IT's the one department that hasn't added any people for support, except for like Jason, but that's a totally different discipline.
Yeah.
We have not added any IT infrastructure. So that's something we're going to see over the next couple of months, but we may ask the board to look at another person. Cloud versus hosted, you're going to hear a bunch of that. So just in the future, finance is looking at new software. I just wanted to let you know that we've been fairly happy with our cloud considerations. The DA's moved to the cloud. We have problems when smaller companies that we host, like the EIS CAD system, the Springbrook finance system that was never upgraded, the Clerk software that's a smaller Oregon company, they don't keep up with the changes in Microsoft OS. So now we're going to have to pay $4,000 a year because when 2008 server is no longer supported by Microsoft, we have to pay to get the support for those. So
those
EIS,
softwares aren't current,
they're not
so we're
current.
Paying for old systems.
We're paying for old systems. Cloud, they have to keep them up, so it's on them. The only time we don't recommend it is the assessor moved to new software. The cloud price was exorbitant. It was $150,000 a year, and we said, right, that's crazy. We can host it. Another growth issue is VoIP phones. Some of our switches are starting to get full. I just wanted to let you know that we're going away from hardware. We're actually going to virtual switches. I know that doesn't mean anything to you. It's just a space in the cloud.
We all have to wear the goggles.
Something like that. It's $30 per phone as opposed to getting new hardware at $2,000, putting it in a rack, running wire, whole world's going virtual. We probably should have gone virtual 4 years ago when we went to VoIP, but we went hardware, and so this is us moving more into software.
Do we have backups? I mean, I know recently we had phone outages outside of our control. It wasn't us.
So we're looking at seriously, because dispatch is going to extend their hours, we have almost no maintenance window anymore.
Yeah.
We have a call into Mitel to see what proposals they can come up with for failover redundancy, so that when a site goes down or we're doing maintenance, they can roll over to another system, whether that's copper or another VoIP site. Yeah.
Well, and also power backups. So if the building goes out, we've lost all phones.
Power is a huge issue, I got to tell you. It's more and more an issue. We had two middle-of-the-night phone calls in the last month. One was a UPS, and one was just a circuit breaker where water poured into the data center, and it flipped the breaker. And so we're running into the data center in the middle of the night to keep the jail up. You know, some sites have generators, a justice building, the data center has a generator, but if a circuit goes, then
the
generator's not going to come on. Yeah, power's an issue.
Any suggestions?
But that's something, they don't make auto reset breakers. You got to go, the reason it trips and stays tripped is that it wants to get your attention. So I don't know how you'd cure that.
So you guys got an alarm in the middle of the night, so you came down and responded. Is that what happened?
Yeah, and called Ryan, and Doug came right away, and they had an electrician on site within a couple hours, and we had it fixed. The only thing I can say is preparatory instead of responsive is taking a look at our infrastructure from that viewpoint and hardening some of our sites, the data center for one. We did get that generator a few years ago, and it was a great addition, terrific addition. But we need to take a look at our sites, not just from the walls and windows, but from electrical. We have bad power in Grants Pass. It's the sound people, internet people, they've often commented about, wow, you guys have a lot of power outages down in southern Oregon. Relative to other parts of the
state. Power is not quite as clean as it should be.
Right. So it's something we look at, but facility study wise, power is something that definitely we should move up a notch. What the network's quickly been working on is we replaced our firewall FortiGate after 10 years. That was in the budget. It's done. Replaced backup storage, the same thing that was in the budget this year. New switches to accommodate growth at patrol headquarters. I mean, that didn't exist 2 years ago. Now there's 40 people in and out of there. We didn't do it as a holistic kind of take this site. What do we need to do to make 40 people work in here? We did it as these 6 people are going to move in, then 8 more are going to move in, then we're going to move animal control there. So it became a very ad hoc kind of addition. We're almost done. There's no more room for them to grow once they take over that garage. Corrections, we're moving to Windows 10. Their machines are pretty good, so we're just adding RAM. Just a heads up that machines aren't improving that much. Hardware is getting smaller, a little bit better, but it's not worth investment. So we're hanging out longer with our machines. We're getting way more laptops. Laptops were maybe 2% of our machines. Now they're pushing 15-20%. We're getting a lot more people using laptops. We're looking at touch screens now, two-in-one foldable machines. They're getting more and more prevalent with the field nurses and vets out in the field, all that kind of thing.
I went to a church on Sunday. I was helping with some music, and you know, the guy's up on stage with an iPad adjusting. All right, you're muted. You can unplug your guitar. You can da-da-da-da, you know, and it's like, yeah. Okay, if a little tiny podunk church has this kind of technology, where are we as a county providing essential services to the community? I appreciate your office having to constantly be looking at how are we on the cusp of what, not the cusp, but just where we need
just
to be.
Just back of the leading edge, yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, 6 months behind is where we kind of like to be. Fishing, just tremendously good results the last 2 fishing runs. Only people that were catching are new, and the last one, 485 people got a Cyber Monday fish, and not one of them grabbed it. And people call me and send email, are you fishing? Are you joking? What is this? Why? Are you? So they're suspicious, which is good, and we're seeing just a lot more awareness. I'm very happy with where that went. We were at 40% of our people were clicking on bad emails. To now the last 2 runs have been 3-4%, so much better. Charter and Hunter, we've got bids in at both of them to expand our internet bandwidth. We have 100 meg up and down. We have a redundant 10 and up and down. And then we have another 100 with Hunter. We're looking at expanding to either 200 or 500, future-proofing for Office 365, the number of laptops we have, just the more bandwidth that we're going to need.
Wi-Fi is still so touchy in this building. Is it because of all the cement?
We have to put them in the rooms where we want them. So we've added them to several sites now. So if you want Wi-Fi in here, it is the concrete that causes issues. We just need to put them in a room.
Where is the nearest one?
They're $189, so we're glad to put one in a room.
I've had people come in for meetings and say, gosh, your Wi-Fi, I can't, you know, or your 1-bar, 2-bar in here.
Yeah.
Sometimes I can't get phone calls.
We had to put 2 across the hall downstairs. They're 25 feet from each other, but the amount of concrete in the ceiling cavity. Yeah.
I would want our offices to, anyone asking for them, but certainly in here, it might cover my office, but it might need one in our main area too to cover out there.
One right here probably do pretty well. Because now you're just looking at drywall.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get on that. Cape Junction. The departments are moved. We discussed this at the department head meeting. Public health is in Ivy's family coalition. Corrections and the sheriff are at City Hall. Building and safety is thinking about moving, opening an office.
Public health.
Yeah, so if the board is really thinking about doing that, having them in one location makes a ton of sense. We can put VPNs.
Maybe if we had a building out there. Oh.
Just something to consider. There are some buildings for sale out there. I've heard that one of them wants to work with a nonprofit or might give a deal if it went to something that has a ability to do something else. So, you know, I know that we sold the building 2 years ago because we were advised by facilities that the cost was too great, but the service is important. When you drive up north, there's South County services in Bend. I saw them in county buildings in the south end, Deschutes County. I've seen them in Douglas County, South County. It's something that I think would be maybe beneficial, but what's the right way to do it? And I don't think we've talked about it as far as do we look for a central location.
I think Cape Junction needs to approach that. I don't know whether we get involved in their...
county services that we're offering in that area.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about. This isn't Cape Junction anything.
They don't have a place of land out there.
So public health got forced out of the county building, and they found a partnership across town at the Family Coalition. They rent space there. They're operating off of Wi-Fi to access county services. The sheriff's office, when the commissioners kicked them out of the county building, went to City Hall, and...
They're in the basement.
And they're in the basement. There's not room to expand. So there's a PO that works in there. There's a volunteer that works in there, and the sheriff's office is a substation.
So are we supposed to go negotiate for the building?
Correct. It would be, what are the needs of our departments? And then we as the central government would be the ones that would maybe utilize Helene or somebody to say, what's the right fit for our county services out there? And do we want them all consolidated to one place? These are the two locations that have been recommended by some of the locals that we would look at. Just that there's a couple places for sale out there we might look at, but that would require negotiations, that would require costs, building projects, and stuff like that. So
is there any ability to utilize that RCC building, I wonder?
In Kirby?
In Kirby.
Mm-hmm. You don't see people going to Kirby for essential services. You see them going into CJ.
Right.
And the bus and stuff, I mean... Siskiyou Clinic's true. Out there. Family Coalition gets a stop right there. We can try to talk to agencies out there. Is there more space to be had? But I know that there's not for the building department to go in at Family Coalition. Sheriff's Office isn't probably going to go out of their area unless we provided a secure place for them that they can, because their area is technically CJIS, or should be. I don't know if it is out there.
Oh, it's lockable, yeah.
Do they fit with a local fire company out there? Are they sieges?
So the station one on Capes Highway, no. The fire station is co-located with AMR, and so I don't know that there's more space out there. There's no parking at the fire station barely for a meeting because that's where our daily cooperator meetings were, and you're kind of like, where are you parking that you're not blocking the bays?
Right.
It
seems like something that we're starting to hear bubble up. In many departments, not just one.
Mm-hmm. So the only reason I'm bringing it up is consolidation helps with security, CJIS.
Yep.
It helps with, we have one CaveNet connection out there, it's 20 megabit. We have a VPN on it. If we can have people in one place, it would help. Branding guide. So we've got the four or five details worked out. We got the page in there with the standard uniform. We got agreement on where the department should be, and I think we're good to go. I think Annette gave you all a copy of the finished branding. What I'd like to do is to get a legal department to make an order that accepts the branding guidelines as the county's use of logos, and to make this part of a communication handbook, like a policy handbook, that this is our county policy now. Does that seem to be reasonable direction?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll work with Leo to get that
done. I want to make sure that everybody's got the same message.
I had people reaching out and asking, how do I get the logo for usage? So do they just have to do a screenshot, or do we have it in a version that we're going to, not just the branding guide of where to use it, but how do they actually get the documents to use internally for their letterhead?
So we're just waiting on approval. So today we'll make it available to people. We're going to have a repository that people can read from but can't write to, and we're hopefully going to keep it as clean as we can.
Right, because there's lots of ancillary departments that use our logo but are not company employees, you know, county employees. Like the housing authority, let's say.
Right.
They use our, and we need to get
so part of the communication policy is who provides that. Right. So Jason makes the most sense, for he's the provider of anybody that needs to use our logo externally, that kind of thing.
That,
we'll go into the communication handbook.
It would be nice.
Yeah. Bob Noyes made a pretty cool light display app for GIS. Yeah, you just can go on there. People can take pictures of a really cool house and post it, and it'll put the location on there, and it'll show up on the map. And pretty cool. Website. We're moving into the migration phase. We've shown it to the department heads. We'll probably show it to the board in January. It'll have some of our content on it. And some of the features like the citizen portal and the ability for citizens to subscribe to board minutes and that kind of thing. We'll want to show it to you with some meat on the bone. So I think in January we'd be there with a rollout or training to start sometime in January and with a rollout sometime in February. That's my goal right now. Josephine County Gov is working well. Just means that if someone sends an email to bcc@josephinecounty.gov, it will show up in the same email boxes.
Every day that I'm at the desk, I'll log in still. I think it logs me in as the @co.josephine.org, if I assume. I just put the L. Morgan in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I get a pop-up screen to re-enter my password for lmorgan@josephinecounty.gov. Multiple times a shift.
And that's the FortiGate message that comes up?
No, it's a Microsoft-based pop-up that has my username in there at josephinecounty.gov. And it's almost like it's trying to link the two, the co.josephine and the josephinecounty.gov.
I haven't.
Because I'm logging in.
That? No.
I get it multiple times a shift.
Lily is special. So she gets all those.
Yeah, we'll take a look at that.
It's not happening on mine either.
Never happened on mine. Of course, I never went there.
Yeah.
Could you give me
turn it on.
I'll screenshot it next time it comes up.
It's the Ukraine train.
Yeah. Wait, no, I only know the Russian. I don't know Ukrainian.
Anything else from the board for me?
Thank you. I did just ask Annette, poor thing. I gave her an earful this morning about the agenda builder one. And just kind of hoping that gets implemented at the same time as our rollout. And I didn't know where that was, but that to me is probably one of the biggest things. One of the things after last year's goal setting was looking at process as far as are there things we can do to improve how things flow through to get to the weekly business session. And I know we had talked about doing a committee to look at that, but I'm hoping that not only do we still put together a work group to talk about the processes and what things can do, but that this agenda builder could maybe be part of that process of speeding things up, that it's not going through the mail or it's not going through this, that there's a way to do it that can, or we can develop a policy with it that if it meets this criteria, it automatically get approved a weekly business session and bypass some steps or something like that. But I'm worried that if we implement the website and this isn't a part of it from the beginning, that it might just not happen. And I think it's a pretty important one, but I don't know. So
that's on me. It's kind of been dormant. I had the demo. I never received a quote, so I went back, looked through all my emails, and never got. So I reached out to them again. So I don't know if it got stuck somewhere and then to get through me, but I will hope to have some movement, and then I'll work with John on what we need to do next. So
we're dealing with it separately as a separate item, not part of the website?
It would be a separate rollout that's connected to our website.
Okay.
Revised promises that they can integrate quite well with Granicus.
Okay. I just, why we still have them working with us, I'd like to make sure that that's kind of co-timed for the sake of.
We have a lot of third-party integrations that haven't been done yet. But.
Okay. Fun, fun.
Okay. Thank you,
thank you.
Thank you, sir. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Very comprehensive update.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I'm trying to learn my second language, and I don't know what I call it.
I wondered if with some of the acronyms, do we say what they are, or do we just let it go?
Just let it fly. Who cares?
Oh, peace out.
Microsoft OS.
Yeah,
that's
what I mean. Really,
VPN, Microsoft OS, all that kind of stuff. Okay, so next on the agenda.
CPU, Christmas party update.
Exactly. Next on our agenda, the CPU, Christmas party update.
So the Christmas party, the BCC annual Christmas party is scheduled for December 19th, which is a Thursday. The ladies in the office have been doing a great job decorating. They're also planning and getting the food together, getting everything scheduled. The difference this year is it's going to be at noon from 12 to 3 instead of 1 to 4. And I wanted to try this time frame. We talked about it in the office. And just to get people here during their lunchtime. So we're hoping to get more people here who will come and eat during their lunchtime and have more interaction. So this is our attempt to bring it earlier so we can get more people around. We're hoping we have a meeting that morning. We're hoping that the meeting will be done sooner so we can start or finish decorating beginning about 10:30.
I'll throw myself to silence.
So the staff has time to get the room in here ready for the 12 o'clock party.
Yeah.
So.
My phone says 11 to 5, so
mine is too.
We're going to shorten that.
Yeah, I didn't put those in there. I'm sorry, I don't know. Maybe it's just for the preparation.
No worries.
Okay.
Larger window is better than a smaller one.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's part of the cleanup group.
Uh-huh.
Do you guys have any question on that, on the Christmas party?
Anything we need to do?
I think...
Wear something wonderful.
Be festive.
How is that different than any other day?
Okay.
I don't have to bring my crab dip or anything, right?
I mean, no one's going to get mad if you do.
I know.
Wow.
I really like to have an occasion just to have it for myself.
Hey, I won't object if you want to make something special.
So what?
Something special. So, he says he likes to make a crab dip.
There's a crab dip. Oh, boy, it's so good. Anyway.
Interesting.
Especially if you like it. It's really good.
I was going to go out and get us some crows, seeing that we have to eat crow all the time by whatever for the Christmas dinner. I'll go to Herman's again.
I'm
going to
vote for Darren's crab dip and not crow. Dan's crow.
Here we go.
Okay, so what do you need from us?
Crow.
We just need to make sure that we get out of here in a timely manner.
Have we created an invitation that has gone out to staff?
Yes. Okay. The invitation has gone out to the county.
Super.
Trish created that. That was sent out.
And we'll send out a reminder again this week.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else on that one?
So you're bringing in extra tables or whatever it takes to make that happen.
You know what? I'm not sure. The ladies have it all figured out based on the previous. I haven't been to one.
We've had a couple of them in the last couple, 3 years that have been really nice.
They take this table and switch it sideways and put the chairs around the room.
The chairs around the room. It really works out nice. It's done very well. Very tasteful.
Everything gets thrown in my office to hide. And
which is normal.
Yeah. Lily's becomes a cigar room, so you can go out there and enjoy a cigar and a glass of sherry.
That starts at 5. That's right. That's not
special
10:30.
Filters. Yeah.
That's right.
All right. So item 4.
Good.
Forwards.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Let us know if you need anything. State of the county update.
I just want to bring it back to everybody's attention. It was discussed. The department heads would prefer to have it later in the year. But if not, if we're going to do it earlier, I think we need to start letting them know so they can prepare for it. So I just wanted to bring that up again. So
what was their suggestion for later in the year? I mean, do they want to go April, May, or whatever?
They wanted to go towards the end of the fiscal, around the middle or end of June, because of budget season. They wanted to be able to get through budget season and then do it right before so they can speak about what the new fiscal year is going to bring for their department.
Kind of makes some sense.
But
what their challenges are for the next fiscal year.
Right.
And have a bigger, better handle on that.
If it was an election year, it would give those, if there was a changeover of commissioners, it would give them a chance to get integrated before there was a state of the county address in February or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you might get away from state of the fatigue from city, federal.
Yeah. I just didn't want it to fall through the cracks, and I wanted to be able to give the departments enough time if we are going to do it sooner. So that was a concern they had last year.
I'm not opposed to later on in the year. I think it would give you a time. Part of their presentation, they have a very short presentation anyway, but it would say some of their successes in the year gone by and some of their challenges.
Right. We might have trouble with attendance in June.
I agree with that. That was the one thing that was coming to mind, graduation season going into summer. So, I mean, traditionally, presidents are sworn in on January 20th. They do a state of the county, state of the country a week later.
Right.
You know, it's kind of... And for them, it's kind of a proclamation of, I'm just sworn into office. Here's what we're going to be looking forward. Here's our priorities. This is marching orders to staff. This is kind of where I see our vision going. And essentially, I think that's why it traditionally is then. So a state of the country, a state of the state, a state of the county, the state of the city, most people don't operate on a fiscal year. Most people operate on a calendar year.
Right.
And but are we doing a report? It depends. I would say that the other thing about June is if it isn't a long legislative session, that's kind of the do or die at the end. June is of the long sessions. Of the short sessions, it's February to March. All sessions start in February at the state level, so that's something else to keep in mind.
Did the city schedule theirs yet?
I haven't heard.
No?
It might be worth reaching out to Rogue Valley Association of Realtors who started the city's one and ask, does the city do it in correspondence with their budget session and their goal setting and such, or is it separate? I think
there's... You've got a lot of questions asked, don't you?
I'm trying to write them down.
I just think if we did it if we were to go February... We better tell them right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's their ask. If it's going to be early, they need to know.
And last year, we kind of just asked for a summary of the year before and what are your kind of three big things you're looking at this next year. And granted, I understand they operate on a fiscal year, but I don't think people do. So.
No, I think February or March might be a little better. Less activity, less school, less...
February is before budget, so maybe less busy for finance and some of them.
Mm-hmm.
February is kind of just a gloomy month. You're not going, there won't be much travel. Vacation won't be. Less
the only bright spot is Valentine's Day.
Darren's got to go back to sign papers on his ranch in New Zealand.
Oh, man. I wish I had a ranch.
Did you hear about that volcano?
Yeah.
No, what happened?
Tourists at a New Zealand volcano that erupted and covered the island and people missing and dead and can't get in to rescue people.
Wow, no.
And Mount Hood had a...
Oh, the city is not having one.
They're not having one?
The city is not having a State of the City address. I just asked Karen Furk.
They've been in the limelight so much, there's nothing there's nothing to
say. We got to thank them. We should send some flowers over there.
There's nothing to say if they had a State of the City. You already know everything about it.
So I think the next step, if possible, I'd like to reach out to Rogue Valley Association of Realtors.
Absolutely.
And see
if
that's
okay. I think we missed that last year.
Yeah, let's try and do that and then maybe talk about it next week and get it pounded out.
Okay.
So that we know.
I will get an email off today.
Yeah, because we want to get that before the end of the year if we're going to make people talk in February. Yeah.
And I might just ask, what are you guys looking? Because what they do is they do credit for their realtors, their CUs for stuff. And so it's always been a partnership with them in that. So I'll see if there's any specific asks or questions they have.
Okay.
Okie dokie.
That's all I had. I just didn't want it to slip through into the last minute.
Good time to bring it up.
Yep.
Get it done.
Okay, so the last item is additional subjects and matters from commissioners.
Ryan Johnson contacted me last week. I'm not sure if he contacted you two either, but Department of Public Safety, Grand Theft Public Safety, does not anticipate being out on time, and they wanted a two-week extension, and I was in favor of that. But if it goes a day over that, we need to start charging something. But if we're here 2 weeks, can we get another 2 weeks? Because I don't want to get into a situation like we had with one of our people that we bought their property, and they just 6 months later, they're still there.
Right.
So I think that would give them, it gives them some incentive to be out too. But I don't, I was okay with leaving them in there for 2 weeks. I just want to bring it up.
Okay.
I went out to the Cave Junction City Council meeting last night. They were expecting a little public input on the national article that happened since, but nobody wanted to talk about it. And everybody wants to talk about the good things going on out there, and this was misinformation that was misconstrued, taken out of context, and so it was good to see not a huge public outcry on that. They did appoint our intern Wyatt to the Parks Board out there. I didn't know he was only a junior as well. This guy's getting involved early. Got to meet his mother last night, a very nice lady. And I'll be on KXCJ Radio tonight at 5:30.
Oh, are you going out to the little...
I am going
out. Claustrophobic?
I already been there once.
You will be.
At least it's wintertime, so yeah. We'll be fighting staying warm instead of sweating out to, as it was in the summertime. So that's my update.
Another one is that the airport, after the article in the paper, I think that had probably, we thought it would be a negative impact, but it actually jostled some people at the national level, and Commissioner Morgan's been in contact with some of our legislators. I think it's time to pull that nuclear trigger. I think there's just a personality butting of heads between Seattle and our airport director, who I'm going to side with our airport director every time. Because I think it's time that the folks up above him or her or whoever it is in Seattle needs to know. It's kind of like the parks person down at Riverside Park making decisions for the car club and their car show without going. You just go over their head, and then it just trickle down economics. And I think that's you're on with that with good letter writing skills and stuff. So stay aboard on that, because I think that's very, very important.
Yep, now's the time.
I don't know if a letter from all three of us, if you could type something up to all of our, to all the legislators.
Let's see how they come along and help first.
Yeah, because, give them a chance.
Yeah, Congressman DeFazio's office has been right on it, and Merkley's office called us. I've talked individually to the field reps, so they're aware and kind of just... were ready for us to give the word of yes, we want their help now. And so they're all on board to help us, and they all see where we're coming from. And I think you're going to see bipartisan support. You're going to see both Senate and congressmen or representatives. This isn't a political issue. This is a agency needing to do the right thing and follow their own rules.
It's an economic financial issue.
It's a safety issue. It's an economic issue. It's absolutely... and I believe they all will be helping us. So let's
I just hope that works.
Yeah. I wanted to bring up the fire committee. So I think part of it is as you get in the process to kind of get more clarity of where things are at. When I mentioned that the board had wanted an outside consultant to do the feasibility study, to do the consult about the options, there was a lot of pushback from the group saying, no, we can just do it ourselves. And we have the skill to do it ourselves, so why do you need to do all that time? I think there's still a little pushback from some in the group, but even if we have an outside consultant verify and validate what they do, they're going to have to go through the full process. My feelings on where I'm seeing things at is I got some samples of feasibility studies done in other areas, And those feasibility studies actually look at all the options. And they say, here's all the things that can happen. My recommendation would be that we actually either verify that we're going to do an outside consultant and just say, focus on the feasibility study and get that done. Because by the time it's done, if there is a timeline to meet for next year, that has to be done now. And sooner, because you have to have time to get the RFP prepared, you have to put it out, you have to get the response, they have to gather the information, give the response. And right now there's a lot of other stuff of, let's do all this other stuff so we can just maybe bypass that consultant. So there's still a bunch of feedback to push on that outside consultant. I think that the group, I am going to meet with the chair this afternoon and kind of just touch base with him. But I think we either need to be more firm in saying, no, we want the outside thing and focus on that, or we just say, okay, you guys do all the groups and we trust the outcome. I still think third party is going to have a better trust factor in the community, but I don't want to make that decision for you guys. But I wanted to bring it up. So
that was always my understanding that there was going to be.
Yeah.
An outside consultant to do a professional evaluation.
And I almost kind of feel like we kind of need to double back on that and say, that is what the focus needs to be. We want that to be the focus. You guys can help get the information together. You can be one of the steer takers of it. But not do all these individual projects and do your own. Focus on that RFP to get it done.
One of the things that we really need to not lose sight of is that the $1.5 million or whatever it is that Senator Bear Trigger got, that only comes to us if it's successful. We need to give that, if we're going to put something on the ballot, it needs to have the very highest chance of getting it passed. Because if it doesn't get passed, no matter what we put into it, is on us. And I think, what was a consultant going to cost? 35, I think?
We don't know.
30 to 50.
You put together what you're asking them to do in an RFP. They come back and say, this is what I think I can do it for. And you usually go with the most qualified least cost.
Right. And scoring system.
It's kind of like what the PAVE committee did with outside consultants and such. But
I think we need to give it the best shot it can get, because if we don't get it, it's on us.
My feeling is, from my observations and feedback I've got in the community, is that if we don't give an honest look at this option and what it would provide in costs, this option and what it would provide in costs, and this option, if we don't actually identify them before you out check them off, if you go straight to, here's your dollar amount, we're going to a district, and people said, well, why didn't you look at this? Why didn't you look at this? Why didn't you look at this? And there's some in the group that feel very strongly that we need to go straight to the dollar amount and the feasibility study they did before the group was formed and just trust them and go forward with that and use the consultant just to verify their figures instead of have a consultant do the job.
I just think one of the big hurdles is going to be, you saw how miserably the city's fire district fared out at the ballot box. And it's going to be, well, we've shot down a fire district once, now you're going to bring it back again under a different name. And getting that distinction between the city's fire district and the rural fire district is going to be a real tough, tough, tough job.
I'm trying very hard to not be heavy-handed, not direct the direction, but I feel that we almost need to give more direction or clarified direction for the success of the group. There's some that believe you don't need to look at those options. We just have the answer. Well, then there's others that say, then why are we here?
Right.
And I don't want to make assumptions. Several times they've asked questions, and I said, I have to ask the board. I don't speak on behalf of you guys, so I want to make sure that I bring it back to you and clarify, because this isn't a roasting of other agencies or a comparison of other divisions. This isn't anything other than, we did have an advisory question that said, should we pursue looking at a district? There was a 60% of 30% said yes. Of those that responded, 60% said yes. So there's people in the group that said that's our marching orders. So, well, no, technically the order is our marching orders. It looks at boundaries and service areas and all that kind of stuff. But I really have to make sure, I'm trying very intentionally to make sure that I'm hearing your feedback and making sure that that's represented and not my own opinions and
right, which I can appreciate.
Standpoint.
That was the process I was hoping for. I think we should refocus them on coming up with an RFP that asks the right questions. And then at that point, it would come to the board and we go, yeah, we like that.
Okay.
And then let's go out for it and then see. What if we end up with 90,000 as our estimates, to be like, whoa, maybe we better think about this.
Well, and there's a chance
that
of it.
Broad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a chance of the ask in the legislative session of the coverage to cover the cost. There's
right.
a chance that that cost will be fully on us. And so, you know, one of the early on questions, if we go through this process of creating it, are you guys just going to throw it out? Well, I didn't have that answer.
Right.
Because I don't know what the responses are going to be on the RFPs yet. However, the feedback I'm getting in the community is, have you looked at this? Even people that are pro-district, have you thought about this? Have you thought about this option? And I've had some feedback in the group saying, why are you even looking at these options? Why do we have to do things differently than everybody else in Josephine County? I'm like,
because we
have a different system. For 70 years, we've had subscription service in Josephine County, and that's what our community knows.
Yeah.
And the law also allows this, and it allows this. So just, I want to be intentional, to be mindful of your direction as your liaison, not somebody acting independently of you.
Right.
And so I'm trying very much to make sure that is there anything I'm missing that you can see in your observations that I should ask?
I think it's just about kind of gathering the troops with one focus, because there are different people going on different ideas. They've already created the district in their mind, and that's where we're going, and other people are saying, wait a second, if that's what we're doing, then why am I here? You guys have already made that decision. So I think it's just about gathering everybody to have the same direction and bringing them back to the center.
I think you're giving it to a third party to gather all.
Yeah.
The third party then does the presentation.
Well, and the RFP will bring that group together, the forming of the RFP.
Yeah, we're not throwing anybody's ideas out.
No.
No.
But we're just looking at it.
Through the RFP,
idea.
They'd be one of those key groups to provide information to the company and such. I just have a feeling that we're going to get lost in all these little projects, but I don't want to make that assumption without bringing it back to you guys.
No, we didn't hire or put that task force together to come up with all the ideas. We put them together to help cohese and get a proper RFP written so that we could ask the intelligent questions.
Okay.
So, I think that should be refocused. Yeah.
So I'll meet with the chair of four and kind of go from there. I am appreciative of the chair. He's just kind. He's just kind, if I could describe him with a word. And he has passion as well for the topic. kindness. And really, that's appreciated. And it's... People are impassioned. Their hearts are in it. They've had fear. They've faced loss. And because of it, an urgency to get the outcome they're hoping for. But in this community, due process is necessary to build trust. And I think that's, I've continued to learn things through this process, going through those daily cooperator meetings, going through the evacuations and learning stuff, then going through that wildfire council. I learned a lot in that process as they gathered information to advise the governor and where the state's going. But for people who just lived their experience alone and haven't had all that other information gathered, I want them to be heard, but I also want to make sure the outcome is a trusted one that builds community consent.
Well, that's what's going to have to be. Like I said, we got a big mountain to climb with the citizens.
Oh, yeah.
It comes around to it.
Yeah, it's got to be.
That's who's got to pass it. So.
Okay. Thank you. Any other thoughts? Okay. I do have one. The Sodia that I had said, do I go to or not?
Sodia.
It's the Southern Oregon Timber Industries meeting. Am I RSVP'd for that? It's at the same time as our weekly business session tomorrow night. I did not realize that because it wasn't on my calendar as that. Because I just assumed we had a morning weekly business session.
Open up another mill?
Right.
I asked that question of Boggan and Brothers, Boggan and Sons, I mean, in Washington. What would they require to... they were the ones doing the collaborative forest project, the A to Z project up in Colville. Okay. And I said, we don't have any mills left in Southern Oregon in our area. What would you need to have one? And they said, a guarantee of this many board feet. I did have a collaborative meeting.
And it's got to be a sustained guarantee of that many board feet.
Yeah.
It can't be a, gee, we're going to do that, and we've got it for 2 years, and then third year it goes to the Ninth Circuit, and you got to shut the mill down again. You're not going to get anybody to put that kind of investment in.
So
I don't blame them.
Friday, I had a meeting at the U.S. Forest Service with the Collaborative Forest Restoration Group and U.S. Forest Service and Court Voice from Curry County. Forest Service is asking for our support in both the project and also if we have any conversations with our federal delegation to reiterate that Forest Service needs the staffing. They're at less than 50% the staffing they had 20 years ago, and they don't have the staffing to get things done. Fuels. They don't even have a fuels person on our forest that is a fuels expert in fuels reduction and such like that. So as the project is going forth, really it came down to, okay, we want to do this harvest. We want to do this treatment. We want to do this stuff. We don't have the staffing to do it.
But the harvest used to, they're the ones that cut the harvest out. So they cut their own throat because what was the harvest paying for? The harvest was the one that financed their staffing.
50% of their harvest they put out this year didn't sell.
You know why? Because we're out of the timber industry.
Yep.
Canada is taking it all right now. Washington and Canada, they're supplying as much Doug fir as possible, and we really don't have what we have here.
We don't have the infrastructure to take it or the market for it, so
the
they're not meeting their goals.
To get it to the mill to process it is mm-hmm. way when a tree gets too far from the mill,
mm-hmm.
you use it all up in transportation, there's nothing left for the mill. So they're done.
So, I mean, that's one of those conversations we have is do we get a processing in Josephine County again that can handle and the refuse of it? I mean, we talked about a biomass or the byproduct. Well, they have biomass one in Medford. They have the one in Lake County. Are they having enough business?
The question I would have, and it'd be a good one for Dave Streeter, is do we have enough inventory? Josephine County does not historically grow trees like, say, the coastal counties do. That, you know, you look at Tillamook and you look at Clatsop and all those counties along the coast, they just throw a seed out there and the next thing you know, they got a forest.
Yeah, but ours grow strong.
Huh?
And if you thin, those trees that are left grow faster and stronger.
Exactly. I get all of that. But it's a good deal for our forester to say, can we, as Josephine County, support a mill? And I would say, my first inkling would say no. That okay. We are not going to sell enough trees. Have enough inventory to be able to keep a mill open.
So,
but I'm not the expert.
Okay. Well, I think we need to have ongoing conversations, mm-hmm. and it's not going to be so straightforward, yes or no. I did say that we're not going to join the collaborative as a collaborative partner. We want to keep our coordination ability, but we'll still be at the table having conversations about the projects.
Not that we don't support their projects.
That we won't be signed on as a cooperating agency, but we'll still be at the table talking as an agency to agency. Is that so we'll be up here with U.S. Forest Service, then those other agencies will be at different tiers.
We're still an interested party.
Correct, but not losing our voice by signing on as a partner in the project necessarily. But I brought up different ways of the 25% that goes to our road funds, our maintaining of the roads. We're having some other U.S. Forest Service. We're hearing that they ripped up a bunch of roads outside of Cape Junction this last summer. And so I want to follow up with Merv on that, on what's going on with that. So just wanted to follow up with you guys. As far as tomorrow night goes, I would ask that you please define that I'm on assignment for you guys at your request, that it's not me skipping out a meeting.
No, I think you should go. I'm not sure what's on our agenda. I didn't look yet, but
well, one of them was the public health thing that I was going to explain for the modernization. So it simply is that there's a project manager to keep us in line with the state's requirements for modernization. It's not an unfunded mandate that they're giving us the cost to cover the project.
Pastor. Well, yeah, we could take care of that for you.
Okay.
Just have Michael or you write up something, and we'll just do it.
I have one other ask.
I'd be glad to do that.
So yeah. Wally's trying to get in with each of us. I have a meeting right after. I have to be somewhere at 11:30. And it's all good? Okay. I just didn't know if you guys were flexible with your schedules today where I had kind of a tie. Oh, so
you take them first? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I was going to say.
No problem.
Okay.
Okay. Don't flip-flop them.
Yep.
Thank you.
I got a 12 o'clock somewhere, so I got time.
Okay. I'll get it out of the way. So thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet.
I've already had my meeting.
Another successful meeting.
I'm done.
All right. Saying nothing further, we're adjourned to 11 o'clock.